for listening to the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast, available every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom and widnesrugby.com.
On this week's show, I catch up with Logan Tompkins after the defeat to London Broncos. We look ahead to the Challenge Cup game against Oldham. So welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat episode 40 with me, James Gordon. Thanks for all your comments, etc. from last week. Just coming up a bit later in the show, got Logan Tompkins, who I caught up with following the defeat to London. We'll start there, we'll talk about that game. Widnes soundly beaten by London Broncos, a bit of a wake-up call maybe for Widnes' situation. As you'll hear from Logan, I think not so much a reality check, but certainly a realisation maybe that where Widnes need to be. I thought that London managed the game really well. The conditions were difficult. The wind obviously played its part, and I think London's game management was a lot better than Widnes's. They turned Widnes around close to the Widnes line on pretty much every occasion. If there was hardly any kicks in goal. I don't think the ball went dead once in goal in the entire match. So I thought Matty Fozard, who's actually a Widnes lad, I thought he was excellent. It's the first time I've really seen him take a game like that and run it. Normally playing at hooker, but played it at stand-off in the game. And Corey Aston as well had a really good game. To be honest, Widnes were never really in the game. I think it started off, London started dominantly and Widnes just couldn't get out. In hindsight, maybe Widnes shouldn't have taken the early penalty goal. I think at the time you thought, oh, maybe they've just done that to settle the nerves a little bit. But in hindsight, which of course is a wonderful thing, maybe they should have used that opportunity to get some field position and just have a look at the London line and just have a break from being at their own end. Of course, that 2-0 lead didn't last very long. Jack Owens dropped a kick. I didn't quite see what happened. Other people may have seen it better than me, but the ball came loose out of a kick, and off the back of that, Josh Walters scored an interception from Kieran Dixon, extended that lead, and from there on, it was a long afternoon. 26-2 at half-time, a real massive blow at home. But I think Widnes responded well in the second half, but still managed to lose that second period. But London, a surefire sign of what it's going to take to be in the top five. I was disappointed a little bit with some of the comments or some of the reaction regarding Declan Patton and Leilani Latu, who came off the bench. I thought Latu did okay. I didn't think he was any worse than any of the other forwards. I think he grew into the game. He played decent minutes. Suffered a concussion as well, which has ruled him out of playing for Warrington this week. I believe he was being lined up to be in the squad against Toronto, but is unable. Patton was a bit of a different story. I don't think he did anything of note. I think it was a prime example of why you don't want halfbacks on dual registration, because it's very difficult for them to bed in. Clearly, Widnes were hampered by Danny Craven's injury, and again, it'd be interesting to see whether Patton does, whether his pattern is used again in the future, or whether they'll maybe decide to chuck Joe Lyons in there. I've seen a few comments too about the interchanges. We've seen similar interchanges in all three matches so far, where Joe Edge and Joe Lyons basically sit on the bench for the first 60 minutes, and then Joe Lyons comes on to give Logan Tompkins a rest, and Jack Owens ends up going in at hooker, and then Joe Edge seems to come on for whoever needs a rest. And I'm not quite sure they've decided where Edge is going to be playing, but I think it's interesting to see. You don't often see structured substitutions like that in the modern game, because it's on off all the time. And part of me wonders whether Widnes are suffering a little bit with the forward pack. There's not got a great deal of middles or front rowers capable to throw in there. But you wonder if maybe Jay Chappellau was fit, for instance, whether he'd be in for Edge, and you'd maybe get a little bit more out of the forward pack, which is well and truly overrun by London at the weekend. But I think as much as it is a bit of a wake-up call, and it was a disappointing defeat and a disappointing performance, it's not the end of the world. London are a full-time team. They just got relegated from Super League. They won 10 games in Super League last season, which is only four fewer than Widnes managed in the Championship. So I think if you were going to lose a home game, early on in the season it would be to the Broncos. So, you know, I'd like to hope that people aren't going to get too caught up in the hysteria around the defeat. Obviously, we always get hysteria around the defeat. Doesn't mean Widnes are going to get relegated. It doesn't mean that Widnes aren't going to be capable of competing in the top five, in my opinion. It's just one of those things. So, as I say, as I dodged the deluge after the game on Sunday, I caught up with Logan Tompkins. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, definitely. We was going to use this week as a bit of a gauge to see where we're at, because no disrespect to the teams we've played, they're probably not the top table teams that we're looking to compete with. We've really let ourselves down. You know, there's a few technical things that we've done, but other than that, it was probably just a bit of, I won't say a lack of enthusiasm, but probably a lack of, well, using our brains probably. So, and then it just sort of snowballs. We had a bit of similar possession in the first half, but you wouldn't have known it. We was defending too wide around the ruck, which gave them a bit of a step forward, and then they just played smart. They put us in a corner and kept us there. So it was really disappointing, and we've had a bit of a chat now, but we can't talk too much about it straight away, because we need to have a day off, look at everything thoroughly and come back, and we'll probably have an honest meeting on Tuesday. We need to be honest with ourselves and each other, really, just how to get better. But we're not going to, you know, don't write us off, like, we'll learn from it, and we'll come back stronger.
Like you say, they were turning you over pretty close to your line every time in that first half. It must have been really hard to get you struggling to get any sort of field position.
Yeah, they played the conditions really well, put us in that our bottom right corner, and we just couldn't get out. We was, you know, there was tightening up at A, B, C, D, E, you know, and you can't really throw long balls in your own try line, and they just played it really well. So you know, they got the game plan spot on, and we didn't really cope with it. But it's a learning curve, you know. You can't win every game, can you? And it's going to take a defeat like that for us to realise that if we don't turn up 100% in this league, we will get turned over. Whether it's a lower league team or a top, you know, top table team, if you don't turn up 100% individually, you will get beat.
What was the win like? Did you feel like you were playing into the win of the first half, and was it as strong in your favour in the second half as you thought it might be?
We did play into it, yeah. And it was tough to get the kicks away, so I won't by any means blame the wind. You know, when we played at Oldham, we wanted to go into the wind and up the hill the first half. We wanted to work hard first half and reap the benefits in the second. But yeah, so we did go against the wind, and it is a factor in, you know, your ball handling and your kicking and stuff. But I'm not saying if we had the win first half, we'd have won the game, because, you know, we was miles off today. We was probably playing about 50% than what we should be. So the conditions were hard, and, you know, I've had two storms in 2 weeks. Hopefully, if all these storms go away, we might be okay.
What was Tim like at half time? Did he lay into you? He's a hairdryer treatment kind of coach.
Oh, he's a good coach, Tim, because he doesn't have to lose his rag for you to know that he's being serious with you. He's got a different style to a lot of coaches I've had. I've had a lot of coaches who are very aggressive, and that's how they get the points across, whereas Tim isn't like that, but you can tell he's annoyed. So, no, he had stern words with us, but it's one of them where you know he's disappointed in you, so you think, oh. It's like a bit disheartening, because he's got the lads on his side. He's a good coach. Everyone wants to play well for him, because if you look at his career and, you know, what he's done in his, you know, you feel privileged to be coached by him, and, you know, you don't want to disappoint him. And he knows that is, you know, he knows how to get the best from the lads, and it's not always kicking doors in and screaming in people's faces, but yeah, he gives a few stern words.
How'd you come out at 26-2 down? Is it just a case of trying to win that second half? Was that the first sort of objective?
That's exactly what Tim said, yeah. He said, you know, you've lost the first half, you need to win the second to be in with a chance.
We did all right until the interception. Yeah,
we did okay. But by first half standards, anything would have been better than that. So it's all right to say we did okay, but we didn't play well in the second half. But that's exactly what Tim said. But you hit it bang on the head. He just said you need to win the second half to be in with a chance. And you know, we played a little bit better, but it was nowhere near today. Wasn't firing all cylinders. So we're going to regroup, do a bit of video, do what we need to do in the week, and we'll be ready to go next week.
How are you finding it, the adaptation from full-time to part-time?
It's good. It's more difficult because I'm working now, so So I'm working all day and training at night. Whereas when you're playing full time, you train 4 days of the week and you're back home for about 3 o'clock. But it's just one of the things. So that, in that respect, it's harder. And people have been saying to me, how do you find the games? Are they much different? And the physical, maybe not as fast, but it's still very fast. You know what I mean? It's not as big as a jump as people. I think people want me to say, it's a rubbish standard, blah, blah, blah. But it's not. It's really not. And it's tough games. I've been shattered in every game that we've played, probably hanging on. My lungs feel like they're going to explode. So it's not that much different.
Did you feel that a little bit when they brought Pulisic off the bench today and he'd been sat on his backside for 20 minutes and you've been tackling for 20 minutes and then he comes on nice and fresh?
Yeah, Pulisic haunts me. From when I played under 16, some representative game, he was in that, and that's the first time I'd ever seen him. I think he ran rings around us then. So he's just a very energetic, he's strong and he's fast. So when we've been in a tumble dryer for 30 minutes and whatever time he came on, it can run rings around you. I think he put me flat footed a few times. But no, he's a great player, and he came to Wigan when I was there, when I was a young lad, so I know him quite well. A bit of a language barrier, but he's a nice person, but he's a really good player, so whenever I see his name on the team sheet, I think, right, well, he's going to come on and he's just going
to
hop about. And he did cause us problems. He scored a try as soon as he come on, and he was running at A and B's and C's, who were too wide, and he did cause us some problems.
What's the problem? Is it your French or his English?
I think it's my friend. He knows more English than I do French.
And looking ahead to the Cup next week, obviously playing Oldham, who you've already played, I suppose it might have been nice to test against a different team, I suppose, to see where you're at, but you've just got to get the job done in that one.
Yeah, Tim's already said to us, do not overlook Oldham because we beat them once. He's I won't say threatened, but he's given us a warning that, we can be complacent with Oldham because we beat them once. It's a cup game, anything happens in cup games, isn't it? We've all watched loads of cup games now where teams turn up and the other one doesn't, irrespective of who's the underdog or whatever. So we've got a lot of things to put right, and it's going to be a good game for us to concentrate on what we need to do.
And if you've not already noticed, I was drafted in to commentate for Witness TV for the game against London, and Kenny Baker joined me. It wasn't a great first game, to be fair, to commentate on due to the nature of it, but an enjoyable sort of experience, and hopefully one that people will see develop over the course of the season, and hopefully a few more players will come on as well, and definitely Witness TV well worth the subscription to watch the games. Maybe not that one so much, but certainly the other ones. Looking ahead then to this weekend, it's a Challenge Cup weekend, and Oldham are the visitors to the DCBL Stadium, we're calling it now, on Sunday. Obviously already played Oldham, a routine win in that opening game, 36-6, I'm sure. In some ways, you maybe would have liked to have played someone different because it would give you a little bit of a measure of where you're at a bit more accurately. But a must-win game, it has to be said, for Witness, and I do expect them to win relatively comfortably, but to get through to that next round of the Challenge Cup is important, and then you never know. You would imagine that if Widnes were to draw one of the Super League teams at home in the next round, of course the four Super League teams, Toronto, Huddersfield, Hull Care and Wakefield, coming in the next round, if Widnes were to get one of them, that would be one of the games that maybe people look at as a little bit of an upset. We can't get Toronto away. All of Toronto's games in the Challenge Cup will be in the UK, they'll be reversed basically to, if Toronto are drawn at home, it'll be reversed to the away team as well. So there'll be no trips to Canada, unfortunately, which is disappointing. maybe because last year's planned trip got moved to Newcastle as well, of course. So Challenge Cup to look forward to. And then the coming weeks, coming up on the 1st of March, I think it is, Dewsbury away. Don't forget that one is a 6:15 kickoff away at Dewsbury. That because it will be broadcast on the Our League app. Mixed opinions about that. It's going to be tough for the players, I suppose, part-time players. And I know Kenny commentated with me on the game last week, and he delivers beer for a living. And he has to be up at 5:15 every morning or something like that. So he's not going to be getting home from Dewsbury till what, 7:00, 8:00. He's probably not going to be getting home till 10:30. at best from Dewsbury from a quarter past six kickoff. But that's a test. Dewsbury won at Halifax earlier this week, so they're certainly no mug. Then it's Whitehaven at home. Whitehaven struggled at the start of the season. They lost. It's quite bizarre, actually, because Whitehaven lost to both Swinton and Oldham, but then give London a real fright in the middle of their three games so far. And then the next league game, it is a Challenge Cup round the week after Whitehaven, and then the next league game after that is Sheffield away, which will be at Castle Park in Doncaster, which a few people may know better than me. I think I don't imagine Widnes have ever played there before. It's the home of Doncaster Rugby Union, and that is where that game is being held because of the work that's going on at Sheffield's ground. So that's it, I suppose, from me for this week. Thanks, as always, to sponsors Musical All Sorts, PD Law, solicitors Arnold Gorse Financial Management, and Deals the Jewellers. Please do check out the website, widnesrugby.com, which has got the forum, it's got all the podcasts, it's got a few blog posts on there too. There's a new logo that I've put on there as well, which might tickle some people's fancy. Other than that, I'll see some of you at the game on Sunday and speak to you on the podcast next week.